So the question is, how do you manage these toxicities? And it's really important to understand that there are algorithms already developed that you can access online that help you to manage the toxicities. But primarily, the first thing is you need to monitor these patients very closely. You need to establish a relationship with them. You need to be sure that they can come into the center if they have toxicities. If it's somebody that lives far away and can't get transportation into a major center, that you have to worry about that person. We often encourage them to call frequently. And once we know that they're having, for example, if they start developing diarrhea, we don't depend on them specifically to call us. We actually proactively check on them to make sure that their symptoms aren't worse. At the very first visit, I have to tell patients, don't be stoic, don't be afraid to call us. Even if you have one or two episodes of diarrhea, if you have something that's unusual, call us, let us manage it. And if we have to, we bring them into an emergency room. Major centers often have oncology emergency centers that are better for patients. So I think that's the first thing. The nursing staff is really critical in terms of managing these adverse effects. Supportive care is very important. People will develop, in some cases, nausea for the diarrhea. Sometimes we give Imodium, although we try and stay away from Imodium because we want to understand the severity of the symptoms. The single most important thing that you can do is start steroids when steroids are indicated, and to start the right dose of steroids. For most of these toxicities, especially severe toxicities, we usually want to start at somewhere around 2 mg per kg of solumedrol. And for some toxicities, for example, if somebody comes in with uveitis and loss of vision, we put them in the hospital and we give them a gram of solumedrol daily for 3 days. So I would not be scared about going too high on the steroids when you need it. And also not to stop the steroids too quickly. Some people will give the high dose of steroids, people will reverse right away, and they'll want to stop the steroids right away. For grade 3 or grade 4 colitis, you don't want to do that. You want to give them a week of high-dose steroids and then taper them over 35 to 40 days. We have a very low threshold to put somebody in the hospital. A lot of these can be managed as an outpatient, but I think if somebody comes in with grade 3 or 4 diarrhea, I'd rather have them in the hospital, control it in the hospital. One of the things that fools us often is that they get better. We'll give them 2 mg per kg of solumedrol. They'll look better after 24 hours. We send them home. 24 hours later, they're on oral prednisone. Their symptoms come back, sometimes even worse. So I may keep them an extra day, and if I see their symptoms come back, those are the people that I might actually give a secondary immunosuppressive, like infliximab, for example. The other things are just common sense medicine. Most of the time you attribute these things to drug, but you have to be sure that you rule out other causes. I've had people who've come in with diarrhea we thought was related to the immune checkpoints, but it turned out to be C. diff.
Wow.
It was an infectious cause. And sometimes they can be present in the same patient. So that's another twist. Some people who have recurrent colitis, you think that you're dealing with recurrent colitis when actually you're dealing with CMV colitis that occurred because of the immune suppression. And then the last thing is really stay alert for severe symptoms. I mean, if somebody is weak, now when somebody calls and they're weak, we get cortisol levels, we get TSH, we get free T4, I get a CK because I've been fooled. And in somebody who has symptoms that look like myasthenia, droopy eyes, they can't lift their neck, we'll get neurology involved and get an antibody against acetylcholine receptor to make sure that they haven't developed myasthenia.
You know, when you were talking about trying to, you know, find out early on that these people have problems, I was flashing on the fact that we had the pleasure of working with Ethan Bosch a couple of times this year, who did that ASCO plenary presentation on, you know, the sort of automated preemptive approach where patients are, you know, now I think they're using phones and apps and all, putting their symptoms in on a regular basis that gets triaged to a nurse. And it seems like that would really be ideal for these kinds of patients.
It is. I personally prefer for them to call my nurse. I'm worried that there's somebody on the other end of that phone, you know, reading the text. And a lot of people have Epic now, and Epic has a MyChart feature. And sometimes people will send in their symptoms on MyChart. I don't know who's looking at that and when they're looking at it. If I'm on a plane, I can't look at it. And so I tell people to call our staff and to keep calling until they get a call back from either our fellow or our nurse. So I haven't gotten to the point yet where I trust those systems yet.
That's a good point.